David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost, say no in Christ. Little John said he is precious.
We're going to go back and do that second verse one more time. Listen to the words. Listen to the words. All right, choir. Let's sing.
Worship.
Say that I love the Lord, and I want to stand right here and say it with my microphone on. Amen. I love the Lord. I appreciate the Lord, and He loves me more than anybody. And the longer that I live, the more I understand that. And so I praise the Lord this morning, and but just definitely want to open up the floor, and maybe someone else. You're almost at the point of you can't help it. You have to say something. And anybody at all, we're not going to stretch it out. Yes. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, brother. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen, Miss Linda. Amen. Every day is about the Lord. Every month's about the Lord. But this month specifically, let's keep it going. Amen. So good to see Brother James back in the house of the Lord this morning. Looks like you got something to say, brother. Amen. Amen. We've certainly been praying for you. So good to see you this morning, Brother Harold.
Because I love you and I want to praise you this morning.
Yes, sir.
He's with me all the time. When I don't feel like getting up and going, he touches me a little bit. Makes me go, but he gets me there.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I like that. He touches me a little bit. That's all we need is a little touch, don't we? And then, go ahead, Miss CC.
What I'm hearing from everybody, they're having a hard year.
Yeah.
It's just like, we're just really hard this year. And the fact that I know God's got my back, trust me, everybody has to talk.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. This is the month of December, and He is worthy to be praised. We've been preaching, last Sunday morning on Jesus and the birth scene. We're continuing that this morning, but it's the Lord's service. That's what we intend on doing. But we just wanted to take a minute and see if anybody had anything to say. But yes. Go ahead, man.
Your compassions don't fail, and as you have been, whether I understand it or not. I so much appreciate it. I love it.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate that testimony, Brother Chuck. Anyone else this morning? I like it when things get off track. Lord's in that kind of business sometimes. He likes to get things off track so he can show you some new things on a trail. Amen. Well, just want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church. Those watching by way of Facebook, we appreciate you. And again, we are making our way through the month of December, and just an opportunity to really, really take some time and focus on the Lord a bit more than we normally do during the year. And hopefully we'll do much more after this month because of focusing on Him this month. But I want to mention some things this morning. And then we'll pray and we'll give things back over to Brother Allen. Tonight we're going to have a brief conference, and this is covering just the budget and finance committee area of the church. We'll be taking care of that tonight. It won't take long at all. And so remember that this evening, just a brief conference. Again, just one article we're covering, and that'll be it for tonight concerning conference. And again, I'd just like to call everybody's attention to our memory tree that's placed here in the front of the church. Looks like each and every service we have, there's a little bit more ornaments on the tree, and we appreciate that. Again, if you have a loved one in heaven, someone's passed on, went on before you, feel free to purchase an ornament and in their memory. And as we celebrate the Lord this year, in some degree we're celebrating with them as well, as that token of the ornament being on the tree in their behalf. Next Sunday morning will be our official Christmas service, or I could say will be the start of our Christmas service, and we'll continue that through Christmas Day. The following Sunday, we're going to have our Christmas music, and then, of course, we'll have our Christmas offering on next Sunday. Next Sunday's the 18th, right? Okay, thank you. So we'll have those things on next Sunday. I want everybody to listen up to this next announcement on next Sunday night. I've had something on my heart I've been wanting to do ever since I started pastoring. And this Christmas season here at Calvary, I've really been trying to fit as much in as possible, at least from the pulpit standpoint. Next Sunday night, we're going to have a candlelight service. And we purchased a good bit of these battery-powered tea lights. And so I've always wanted to do that. I've seen others do that. Other churches do that. I want our church to do that. And so next Sunday night when you come in, you will receive a tea light, and we will have the church set in such a way. We're going to read the Christmas story, have the lights really low, if not completely out, and you'll have your candle. Again, read the Christmas story. We'll have us a nice backdrop, a couple songs. And I think it's going to be a great, great time. Just talk about how that Jesus is the light of the world. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I hope you will be as well. Christmas morning on the 25th, we'll have some special singing. And then we're going to have Christmas communion. Christmas communion. And so we're excited about that. No service that night. Go home and be with your families. And let me just back up and say, the Wednesday before Christmas, no midweek service that week because of Christmas. And so we'll take that time to be with our families and all. We're still deciding about New Year's. We're on the on the heels of the new year as well, and so we'll let you know about that here soon. I think my notes are done. You got something? 11 o'clock. Yeah, thank you. So Christmas Day service, no Sunday school. 11 o'clock will be the 11 from 12. 11 to 12 will be the service time. 11 to 12-ish will be our service times. Thank you, brother. All right. Brother Harold? Harold wants you to see him before you get out of here. Go ahead. Sure.
Tomorrow night is our seniors, 50 years old plus, is our gathering. And we're going to meet here at the church at 10 till 5. And we get on the bus, the children's bus, and we will drive over to Sackburgers and have dinner together. And then from there, we're going to go see the Christmas lights at the family house. And I have another family. Time permitting, we may go
I like services like this where things are moving and people have liberty to get up and speak. We sure will, sure will. All right, well, just remember these things we mentioned this morning, and so good to be here. I want to welcome our visitors. If this is your first time being with us, welcome to Calvary, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us this morning. All right, well, let's pray, and then we'll toss things back to Brother Allen. Father, we love you this morning like we do every day, and every morning, noon, and night. Lord, we're thankful for your goodness. And God, the longer we serve you, the more we understand that your goodness, it isn't just in times when, or during times when things are good. Even when things are bad and difficult, we may not enjoy them at that time, but we know that you're at work doing things, and because of that, you're good. You're good all the time. You're a good, good Father, the good, good Father. We're thankful for the new song, Lord, that we were able to sing this morning. Father, that allowing your people to express praise, to sing about how much they love you. And God, wherever that's done, we know that hearts will be touched. And we're thankful for that this morning. And Lord, we pray for all of those that are here. And all I see is smiling faces. But there may be things going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. So we pray for everyone here today that you would continue to minister. Continue, Lord, to give us liberty in this service. Help us be changed by the end of the service. Be challenged as well. We love you so much. We're just so thankful for who you are and for what you do. Be with us now. Continue to be with us. And be with us even in our tonight service when we come back. And we'll praise you in advance for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Sure.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, if I had not served Jesus,
Sure.
Usually, and I hate to say that word, but it comes first in my life. But letter gets boring sometimes, and I get tired of dealing with some of the things that I have to do. Eye drops, toe drops, things. But that's, I think, a normal thing. And I have to pray about it because it lets me heal sometimes.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. So that's this coming up Saturday. All right.
We did have a family party here at 6 and our last, I guess, probably 2:30, 3 o'clock. So it's going to be a, you know, busy day.
Sure, sure. Well, Miss Dolores, you know, you said you had to give him his drops and things like that. Sometimes you get ill. You know, the Bible says in Genesis that it's not good for man to be alone. And there's a reason for that. Because we're dependent upon our wives. And so, God bless you. All right, brother.
Choir, would you stand with me? Church, would you stand with me this morning? Could we sing just a chorus of Jesus, Jesus? Would you agree with me that there's something about that name? Yes, there's something about that name. Thank you. You can be seated, choir. You can be seated as well. I'd like to meet with the choir this evening at 4 o'clock. We've got a lot of things going on today, but we need to get some choir practice in. We'll meet at 4. And please pray for the choir as we try and make ourselves ready for next Sunday morning. It's a very exciting time. But everybody is running everywhere. Would you agree with me? And everybody trying to get everywhere they need to get, all the parties they need to be to, try and meet with the family, and a lot of things going on. But this morning, can we just center our minds upon Jesus? Because he's the reason that we're here, and that is to worship him. Please remember all the prayer requests, all the announcements this morning. I think everything, all the announcements have now been given. And let's, again, let's just center our minds upon the Lord. Let's do that as well this morning during our offering. Father, we praise you and we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be able to be in your house. So many people would love to be here or love to be at their church, but they can't because of maybe health reasons or maybe situations beyond their control. But, Lord, we have the opportunity to be here, and, Lord, we want to praise you and we want to thank you, Lord, for not only for what you've done, but for who you are. And in this season, Lord, may our minds go back and remember, Lord, the reason, again, that we are here. And that is because over 2,000 years ago, Lord, that there was a son that was given as a sacrifice for our sins. Lord, as we reflect upon that, Lord, during this Christmas season, how he came as a babe in a manger, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just, again, accept our worship, bless the offering. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that's done. Lord, for we ask it all in your precious son's name, Jesus. Amen. the book of Luke, chapter number 2, the Bible teaches us how that Joseph had come to the inn to see if he might be able to have a place for Mary to be able to give birth to the very Son of God. And the innkeeper said, "There's no room in the inn," in verse number 7. But I wonder if maybe, if you'll allow me to use my imagination for just a moment, maybe one of the other keepers thought, well, there may be a cow stall out there to where Mary and Joseph might end up to be able to have a place for the baby Jesus. And maybe a manger was put together and placed to where the Son of God might be born. I want you to listen this morning as the choir sings. It's not just about the manger where the baby lay, but the end of what we know as his life was about the cross.
Just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the trophies that I've won. It's not all about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about his precious blood that saves me from my sin. It's about the
very good being here so far this morning. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We started last Sunday morning centering our minds and around the Lord, the birth of our Lord. But we started even before that at the end of November on a Sunday night talking about Jesus, preparing for Christmas, preparing for the month of December. We shared even a lesson on a particular Wednesday night since then, and just really trying to draw our attention to the Lord this whole month. And so we're going to continue that this morning. If you have your Bible, go ahead and make your way to Luke chapter 3. And we will eventually get to verse 23. Luke 3, verse 23 is our official starting verse. Excuse me. Luke 3, verse number 23, in just a moment. Let's bow for a brief word of prayer, and we will introduce the message this morning. Father, we love you, and we thank you for all things. God, I pray in the next few moments that you would help me, Lord, to have a clear head, a calm heart. Lord, sometimes switching gears from the worship service, the singing part, to the preaching part with all the emotions that are involved, sometimes it takes a minute. And so we're thankful for what our hearts have felt this morning, how we've already been encouraged. But we pray, Lord, that we would not feel rushed and that we would take our time, because I know that you placed something specific for this morning during the month of December. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we started officially last Sunday morning talking about and centering our minds and hearts around the birth of Christ. Our title last week was Details That Surround the Delivery, and we mentioned some things there. This Sunday morning, here in the book of Luke, chapter number 3, we want to again continue talking about Christ. And this morning, if I could have a certain title, my title would be From the Cradle to the Cross. From the Cradle to the Cross. Brother Allen, you had no idea what I was preaching on, and we have a cradle down here. Of course, we have our cross on the wall behind me. When we tell the story of Jesus, it's imperative that we at some point mention the cross. And this morning I want to share three parts of the life of Christ from when he was born unto the day that he actually rose from the dead. And again, last Sunday morning when we preached, we basically centered our attention around the manger scene and the cradle. And so I want to actually start there this morning, where we left off last Sunday morning. But there's three parts that I want to mention. Not sure if we'll get to all three this morning or not, but we'll at least start. Number one, there's the preparation part, or the preparation period in the life of Christ. Number two, there's the administration part. This is from the age of 30 to 33. This is also known as the serving period. And then, number three, there's the glorification part. This is, of course, covering when he died upon the cross and he was buried and then on the third day rose again. And so from the cradle to the cross, there's three periods. There's the preparation period, administration period, and glorification period. And that's the three things that I at least want to begin to talk about this morning. And those periods of time, again, like I said last Sunday, we're not mentioning these things just to reiterate history. There's a message in each point that's for all of us. And the blessing is it's found within the birth of Christ. It's found within his serving years, and it's found within the year or the time in which he bled and died and rose again. Number one, let's take a look at the preparation period. The preparation period. Now, the preparation period in the life of Christ began at birth and went to the age of 30. This is known as the preparation period time frame. And during these years, from the time that he was born in a manger until he began to walk the shores of Galilee, was 30 years. And so there was a space of time where 30 years there wasn't any miracles happening. Nothing spectacular was taking place. There was no walking on water, no raising of the dead. Nothing spectacular happened between the after the birth, that is. The birth was spectacular, but from birth to 30, really wasn't a whole lot taking place. Really wasn't a whole lot happening. And so this is called the preparation period, because while there wasn't any miracles taking place, God the Father was preparing God the Son. And while there wasn't any dead being raised, the Son of God was being prepared. And all of these things, nothing spectacular happening, yet the Son of God was being prepared to go to the cross. So now let me just say that underneath this preparation period, that during these times of the Lord being prepared, we see some notable activity. Number one, if you go back to Luke, actually, chapter number 2, we'll read verse 3, verse 23 in a moment. But in Luke chapter number 2, this is where we were at last Sunday. The first bit of notable activity going on during this preparation time had to do with God's providence. And again, this is where we left off last Sunday, so we're going to reiterate for just a bit. The activity, the time frame in which he was born, we see it as God's providence at work. Notice, if you would, in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city." Or this was a census taken, an enrollment. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." I said this was a time during his preparation period. This was a time of God's providence at work, because the Lord certainly orchestrated these events. We know there's much scripture in the Old Testament talking about and prophesying his birth, that it would be in Bethlehem. And so we know that in order for this event to take place, there had to be an initiation of it, something to set it off. And so Caesar Augustus was the agent used to do that. And because Joseph was born there in Bethlehem, he went back there to be enrolled. This morning, when we see that, God's providence at work. Providence meaning God being in control, God working, God being sovereign. When we see that in the birth scene, we can glean that while in life things may be quiet, things may be even silent, nothing miraculous happening, nothing of great significance really taking place, yet God was pulling strings behind the scenes. He was preparing the birth of our Lord. And so we see that in these verses. From when Caesar Augustus felt the urge to put out this decree, God was working. And when Joseph was, when he heard of this news, and because Joseph was this upright man and a man of character, he felt like he should go back to be enrolled. God was working in Joseph and in Joseph's heart. And so all these things work together, even the denial of sleeping in the inn, having a room there. There was no room there. I'm sure that Mary was disappointed. Maybe. I'm reading between the lines. Maybe even Joseph on his way out shook his fist at the innkeeper. God's going to get you. And God being his baby. We don't know, but there were several things taking place, and it seemed as though things weren't really happening for their benefit. But lo and behold, things indeed were working. Things were falling into place. Even the denial at the end and how they must have felt and the anger they must have felt. God was even at work even then. And I said that to say this morning that in your life and in my life, we experience denials of man at times. We experience denials of just people being rejected. There's things in life that bother us. There's times in life where we're just hurt, we're wounded. There's times in life we experience broken dreams and things fall between our fingers we're trying to grab. We don't fully understand the full thrust of what we're feeling. But if you are a child of God and your life is yielded to Him, He's using even those things. I love the song that says, God is in the details. Because this morning, Jesus is certainly in the details. Those broken dreams, those bad patterns you may have, your weaknesses, and all of those things put together, God is certainly working providentially. And so this was a preparatory time of the Lord Jesus. And you'll find in your life and mine, there's also times where we must be prepared for the next season of our life. Number two, under our first point, we see the activity of the Lord's birth. And this was taking place during the preparation time. We see God's providence. But then we see the activity of the Lord's boyhood. And this was during his preparatory time as well. Because Jesus didn't stay a baby. He started to grow. And we see in this, during this time, this time of activity, when we see the Lord's boyhood and he grew, this was a time of progression for him. He was growing. He was being prepared for why he came. And so, during this preparing period, the baby grew into a young person. We won't make a lot to do about this morning, not at this time, but I will say that when the wise men came, Jesus was probably a couple years old at that time. A lot of manger scenes and all. And listen, this is not to get upset and make a big deal out of it, but there's the wise man. Well, in the story, accurately, when the wise men came, they came to the house where the young child was. And so Jesus had progressed, and he should. That's what a human life does. It doesn't stay a baby, but it grows. And then he went on from being a young child to being a young person. And the point is that he was growing. He was maturing. Look, if you would, we're in Luke chapter number 2. Look, if you would, in verse number 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He started out a baby, but some years down the road, not many, he began to wax strong in spirit. He began to have this wisdom that was from God. The grace of God was upon him. And so we see that God the Father was preparing him. This was a time of progression during his young life. This morning, as believers, every believer should have a progressive walk where we start to mature and grow. The same way this morning that if a woman has a baby and you go by for a visit and see the family and you see the beautiful baby and you go home, you come back 6 months later, that baby should still not be a baby. It should have some kind of growth to it. And then you go back home and you come back by maybe a year later. That baby should still not be a baby fresh out of the hospital. And certainly by the age of 10, you go back for a visit and the baby certainly should not still be on the bottle. By then, the baby is a young child. On the heels of a teenager and should be eating meat and solid foods. By the age of 10 years old, should be able to speak and know how to add and subtract, multiply, and maybe even divide. You and I this morning should have a walk such as that spiritually. From the time we get saved and we're an infant in the Lord, that's one thing. But then 6 months later, we ought to be a little more mature. A year later, for sure a year later, we should be able to quote John 3:16. And then 5 years down the road spiritually, for sure we should be able to help someone at the altar. And so we see that there's a progression here in the life of Christ, and we can glean the same kind of principle, that we too should be growing in the Lord. We too should be waxing strong in spirit. We too should be getting filled with God's wisdom. We should be learning that as man and being fallen, being sinful, that our way doesn't work. And so eventually and through the progression of time and the Lord walking with us and helping us, picking us up when we fall, through the progression of time, we should be able to have a little bit of wisdom. And we know that the arm of the flesh will fail us. And the best thing to do is go ahead and just lean on God and go with Him. For sure the grace of God should be upon us. Meaning, moving forward in grace. Overcoming obstacles that you know you couldn't overcome without the grace of God. Relying on the grace of God. This morning we see the activity of the Lord's boyhood. the Lord grew into maturity. There was a progression here, and the same ought to be in our life. Now, notice if you would, in verse number 49. In verse number 49, also during this preparation period, we see that God revealed to the young child or the young boy his will for his life. Now, there may be some that would split hairs with me but there had to come a point where Jesus knew that he was the Messiah. There was no way he knew it as a baby because he couldn't think. I mean, who remembers when you were brought home from the hospital? Anybody? Yeah, not me either. Look in verse number 49. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus was 12 right here. Verse 42 says that. And his family was, they were heading in a certain direction in the town. And they supposed that Jesus was, their 12-year-old was with them. But guess what? He wasn't with them. Look at verse 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. That is a parent's nightmare this morning. They went to make sure Jesus was with them, and he wasn't. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, if me and Christy and Lily were in, let's just say, the mall, it's Christmas time, we're shopping, which we went to Black Friday at Cumberland Mall, and all I can say is, whew, that's all I can say. And I'm telling you, it was shoulder to shoulder. You better make sure you got one of them chain wallets, too, because somebody might bump into you. And you look back and your wallet's gone. But suppose we were walking through that mall and we look back and go to say something to Lily and she's gone. That is a parent's worst nightmare for their child to be missing. In this situation, he had been gone for a day. They waited a day to check up on him. And when they did that, they noticed that he was gone. Jesus was missing. And just a little side note before we move on. It's always good, always, always good to check in with yourself and make sure what you're doing is lined up with God's will. Because you can be heading in a wrong direction and Jesus be way over here. It is always good. They were a day away and he had been gone. It's always good to check in with God and make sure that our will is lined up with his will. They came back. Look at verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And look what Jesus says. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Or why did you seek me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He realized his calling at this point. And by the way, she says in verse 48, at the end of that verse, behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said in verse 49, how is it that ye sought me? Why are you looking for me? Well, that's a question that the young people always ask. Mom, Dad, why are you so worried? And my answer to that is, one day you'll find out. One day you'll find out why we're so worried. And Jesus said, why are you so worried? He said, you know I must be about my Father's business. He knew. And I want to say this morning that the same way that Jesus realized the Father's plan during the progressive state of maturing is the same way that God deals with us now. It's during the our progression of maturity. It's learning to lean on Him, learning to trust His hand, learning to trust His providence. It's praying. It's having that daily dedication, that time of devotion. It's studying His Word. And through the process of time, He begins to show us His will. What a blessing it is this morning that there is a preparing stage in our life. God does prepare us for things. And He does this through His providence. During times when we think He's not even working, during times where nothing's happening, and praise God for progression. How the Lord allows us to go through things to mature us, that we may wax strong in spirit, be strong and well-equipped spiritually, and filled with wisdom, and to know a little bit about God's grace. This morning we see the preparation period. Now, what I want to do is, I want to bring it to a close on this first point, because tonight I want to mention point two and point three, and I don't want to rush. So as we leave this morning, and as they come for we have a song or a verse or two, invitation, whatever they may have, let us think about the subject of the cradle and the cross and what took place. A lot of things took place going from the cradle to the cross. But this morning, walk away thinking about this preparation time whenever He was born and how God orchestrated it all. And then whenever He began to be a young child, a 12-year-old, and when He realized His purpose, all these things are things that we can glean from and tells us and shows us how God works in our life. Tonight we'll talk about the administration part and then the glorification part. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for who You are and for what You do. God, we do not want to prolong the timing of which You wanted Your service this morning. And so we stop now. And we digest Your word. We meditate. We walk away this morning meditating over how the service started and the songs that were chosen and the word that was given. Let us think on those things. I pray that You'd be with us all this afternoon. Bring us back safely this evening, and we'll praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. And if you need to come and pray, you please come and pray.
Just as I am without one plea, but then I will share it with
you. Anybody? Next verse, if you need to come, you want to come on down.
And